ॐ ज्ञानतिमरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदामायं ददाति सापदन्तिकम् अददानश्च नन्दन्ते इदं याच्ये पुनः पुनः श्रीमद्रूपापदं भोज दुलीशं जन्म जन्मिनि वैराग्ययुद्भक्तिवशं प्रयत्नाय अपायं मामनभिप्समन्धं कृपं भूया परदुःखदुःखी सनातनस्थं प्रभमाश्रयामि पञ्चाकौपाथुरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभयेव च पतितनं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासुदे गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 रामो हरे रामो राम राम हरे हरे Greetings from New Jersey. I'll repeat that often used joke. Why are people in New York depressed? Because the light at the end of the tunnel is New Jersey. Those of you who haven't been to New Jersey, you know, usually in most countries, in most states, there, even in New York State, there's like a city, and then you kind of drive the mountains in the country, and then you get to another town, and then you drive, and then you get another town, and then you get to a city. In New Jersey, there's no space between one city and another. It's just one huge suburban strip mall. I was joking with Gopi Shore today, who picked me up at the airport. His company's sending him, he's a civil engineer, they're sending him for a course in green architecture. So I said, well, if you get into alternative housing, you're going to have to find some alternative land, because there is none here. It's really an amazing thing. I mean, you never can tell, like, when you're going, it's not any space between one place. And in fact, New Jersey, you check the numbers, has a larger population density than India. So, but it's a great place for Krishna consciousness and sharing Krishna consciousness with others. And such nice devotees in the community here. And, well, actually today I had meant to kind of cancel the class because I just arrived this morning. I'm fully up now. I took a nice nap just when I got in. So today will be a little bit more informal. It would be like I'm holding a radio show, except I have no plans, no call-ins, no guests. But let's see what I can do. Maybe I can just remember Vrindavan, which is so nice. I do feel that, the mood of separation in Vrindavan. Okay? The mood of separation in Vrindavan, it's also very nice. I could feel it, the intensity of thoughts and the appreciation that comes in separation, which is why Prabhupada said, you stay in Vrindavan for 3 days or 3 years. One second, I gotta get this phone kind of linked up. You stay for 3 days or 3 years, because I guess the idea is if you stay there too long without an intense mission or service, you can become familiar. And you cannot appreciate things in a mood of familiarity or over self-expectation. Bhakti begins with faith and appreciation. And appreciation, when you become familiar with things, you lose your appreciation for them. That's why it says they only, in the modern day, they only appreciate Vaishnavas until, they only appreciate Vaishnavas after they left the world. Because you don't know what you're missing. You know, so it's the same thing in Vrindavan. I guess some familiarity, of course, I really always appreciate the Dham. But I can see the sense of leaving and how the thoughts and the remembrances are a little more intense in that sense. And especially in Vrindavan, it's become really my main preaching field, my place. You know, America, I do my sanghas, maybe something on the weekend, but there it's every day, all day. So many people wanting Krishna consciousness, and I had so many experiences of meeting people and their appreciation. Kasturba, he just told me, he said there are 11 people already from his Stanga Yoga place who I've taken around Vrindavan. And the last two were really very nice. So one older lady, about 64, she's a professional photographer and an art professor, and one other lady. And it's so nice to see the depth of their appreciation of the Dham. They actually have so much appreciation that when I left Vrindavan, they asked me if I could take them when I went to Delhi, because it's right near where I'm going, the place I go before I go to the airport, the Delhi Temple. And I met them there for the Delhi Temple. And sometimes they came, you know, participated in the kirtan. And I have to give credit to His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj. I mean, and the devotees there, they did something really wonderful. I mean, I was waiting for them to come. They were late. They were late, and I was waiting for them. And I was watching, you know, in the front door, Westerners come, punks, you know, older people. And they have this whole building with exposition of robotic talking of Christian museums, thing, Bhagavad Gita sound and light shows. And I always thought, oh, this is India. I mean, you know, what's going to be? But I remember it was Satyaraj and his wife and Bhattarayan and his wife, who are New Yorkers with a high standard of taste, were telling me how wonderful it is, you know. And it was really, really enlivening. And what to speak of the art gallery they have of these paintings by these Russian Vrindavan artists. I mean, these ladies are going, this is beautiful. This is incredible. You know, so I have to appreciate these devotees who sacrificed for Prabhupada's mission. And I know Gopal Krishna Maharaj for many, many years. And of course, in India, there's so much money. I was joking to Gopkishore, you know, now I'm back in the third world. You know, it feels like that in some ways. But they have to also be careful, because the tendency, if money comes in, and, you know, so much is focused on it, because they're building 7 temples in Delhi. One just opened by a very sincere person named Pranab. And then you can sacrifice the depth. You can sacrifice the depth. But the Indian middle class is taking to Krishna consciousness in India like anything. And they have the samskara to get into it. And the presentation suits them. You know, the West, it sometimes may come off a little corny. But it suits them. But I have to say, in my experience, I mean, one thing that really impressed me, you know, then I went there, I met them and these ladies, and then, you know, I went to the place I stay, my friend Damodar and Dana Sham, very nice people, and then I went to the airport, and, you know, I got on the plane. And when I got on the plane, across the aisle from me was an American. You know, my age, businessman, you know, maybe my age, even a little bit older businessman. And when I come into my seat, it's across. I'm in the middle aisle. I'm on the aisle seat in the middle, and he's on the side at the aisle seat, so we're right across. He says, "Are you from Krishna?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, I'm kind of interested in that." And then I sit down, and I see that, you know, how people generally go on planes, and especially American people, they read a book. So I see he's reading Bhagavad Gita as it is, you know. And I asked him, "You've been to a temple?" He said, I was just to a temple. He said, "I went to the ceremony. It was really interesting." He said, "Where?" "Well, just a couple hours ago, on my way to the airport, we went to the Delhi temple there." I said, "You got a place in New York?" I didn't know what to say. You know, that's the tragedy. I was hesitant to say, "Yeah, we have a place in Brooklyn," for some reasons. I was hesitant to say that. But, you know, it was interesting. I mean, it was really, so I had to really appreciate. I thought, like, when I was sitting there, I'm just thinking, boy, what I could do with this place here, with these Westerners coming in. You know, they could organize something a little bit more, you know, although they go to the exposition and they get those things, but the personal touch, that they didn't have. I didn't think they had the qualified preachers there to deal with the people. Maybe they did, I don't know. But the guy was saying, he said, "Yeah, I've been reading this introduction. It's really amazing." He said, "The teacher says that if you want to understand this, you got to understand the original, not these kind of commentaries." The original says you have to accept Krishna as God. This guy's telling me, right, you know, across the aisle. And I was just appreciating how, what is it, there's something, you know, the book about the generation, my parents' generation, they called it the, you know, the fortunate generation, that, you know, the age of Aquarius. My generation's the enlightened generation. All through the airport, you know, if I meet people young, they're not as interested as people my age. And then I went to the bathroom to wash my hands after taking something, and some guy was waiting outside the bathroom. Nice-looking American, again, must have been my age, maybe a little bit younger. So he was somewhere between late 40s and middle 50s or something. Very nice man. Civil engineer, Jacksonville, Florida, came to India to travel around, you know, and, you know, started talking to me and, you know, really had respect for the robes and, you know, talked to him a little bit, and I was just seeing that. And I met another lady when I was on the conveyor belt, same thing, my age, you know, went to India to, you know, study something. And but this, yeah, I got their emails also, and it just seems like those people that he's reading and so interested. He said, "Yeah, I'm really into this Indian philosophy," and I was explaining to him different concepts, and he was explaining to me what, and it was just such a pleasure to look across the aisle, right, and see this guy, you know, with the airline light that shines on the book, you know, instead of reading, you know, what is it, the Da Vinci Code or one of these novels, he's reading Bhagavad Gita as it is. I almost thought that this was as good, you know, Prabhupada said, we become successful when the high court judge is wearing tilak. Well, I think it was successful when a grandfather, he has five grandchildren, is an American, he was Jewish, his wife is Italian, you know, American businessman, is in the airplane, if he had pilaf. Anyway, he's reading Bhagavad Gita as it is, asked where the temple is, and I was explaining different concepts to him. I was explaining how a little about the law of karma. And I try to relate to the people, so I was telling him different stories about karma, right? To try to explain to him that what happens to us, how there's an eternal moral order that's pushing everything towards purity. And that's the law of karma. And how it's accepted in all religious tradition, all in the different schools of Indian thought, whether they're Gnostic, means they don't accept the Vedas, or Astic, they do accept the Vedas. Whatever this major schools in Indian thought, they all accept that there's eternal moral order, that the world is moving us. The world is responding to things that are against universal principles of behavior and truth, and it's moving us towards that. So I explained in two stories. I don't know how this is going to come off here, but, the first story I explained is that story about karma. So I was explaining that how everything, there's different ways to look how everything is good. Everything happens for a good purpose. And the second way is what is good and what is bad depends on your consciousness. Right? So if something bad happens, you can look at it as favorable in two ways. Either it has a higher purpose in the future, because sometimes some temporary sacrifice is a Persian proverb that I told him, When it looks like God is digging a ditch to throw you in, he's only digging a hole to quench your thirst. It looks like that. Oh my God, I'm going to be buried, but actually, when he gets to the end, the water comes up. So there's different ways. I told him that story. I once heard that, it was an exposition by the king. The king was practicing, and his finger got cut off. And the whole idea with the king, why he has so much opulence, etc., is to assist in ruling the citizens. His vibhuti, his power, his opulence, his aishwarya, including his physical presence, his harem, his jewels, his training, his knowledge, his dignity, it invokes subservience in the populace, and it helps with the management of the kingdom. So if a kingdom has a disability, like Dhritarashtra was blind, he couldn't be the king. Why? Because it's considered that disability would hamper his ability to rule the masses who are looking for greatness, and they don't consider someone who's disabled superior, or it weakens his superiority. So the king got his finger cut off, and he said, "This is horrible. And now I'm going to walk around as the king, and this is horrible." And the minister, the very wise minister, said that this is Krishna's mercy. He said, "This is Krishna's mercy, you fool. How can this be Krishna's mercy? Well, look what this is going to do to me. It's going to ruin me." Threw him in jail. Then he went out on a hunting expedition, and he was captured by some cannibals who were going to sacrifice him to some goddess or god. And first they were going to boil him up in a pot of boiling oil. They were going to fry him. But when they saw the cut-off finger, then they decided that this is not suitable offering because he's deformed. So he let him go. And then he thought, "My God, look at the offense the king said I committed to this great minister. Everything is Krishna's mercy. I'm going to release him immediately." He got back, he apologized, and then he said, "But I have one question. I can understand how it was Krishna's mercy that I got my finger cut off, otherwise I would have been fried alive, boiled alive. Well, how is it Krishna's mercy that you, how is it Krishna's mercy that you, got thrown in jail. He said, "You fool. If I wasn't in jail, I would have gone on the exposition with you. They would have cooked me." So naturally, the guy laughed. He, you know, he was such a nice man. He was very intelligent. You could see he was like a very down-to-earth, intelligent guy. Very good-hearted, I can see, and intelligent. But, you know, they didn't have the philosophical training. Just, you know, he's a really nice guy. Five grandchildren, three children. So. Then I said, well, here's another story that you like. Same thing. I don't know if this is going to come off on the phone, but bear with me. Maybe it will come off, maybe it won't. And this happened, too. I was preaching in Pennsylvania at this art professor. He's in his mid-70s. He's a devotee of Satsang Marjani. He moved to Pennsylvania because he was living in Washington. He was a professor at George Washington for 40 years of sculpture. So it was so expensive in Washington, he moved to near Gitanagari, to a small town called Shippensburg, which has a university, and bought this mansion on the main street. It's spectacular, huge place. And he put all his life-size sculpture of samurai warriors in the different corners of the house made out of wood. And it's a very, very beautiful house. And his wife is also a very nice lady, and she's German. So they want to have a program. I said, don't invite the devotees. Let's do something different. He said, what if you invite my friends from here? That's better. So she said, but the better way to do it then is have dinner first in the dining room. Then we can sit in the living room. So she invited six friends. One was a professor and his wife. They were both professors. Another was this young dynamic couple who ran the farm program at the university, you know, the farm in the university. Very dynamic people. And one was an insurance salesman and his wife. So I gave this lecture and I gave everything about karma. And at the end, this professor, and during the dinner, I, you know, and they just talk small talk, you know, a social thing. And I don't think that was my forte, sitting at the dinner table with them. But this one guy kept on looking. I said, this guy looks completely familiar. This guy looks completely familiar. I'll tell you after why he looked completely familiar. But he was a Jewish guy in his... He was a professor of linguistics at the University of Buffalo, who was from Brooklyn, but he retired to this town with his wife where she's teaching, because, again, it was so cheap. And it's, you know, 2 hours you're in New York City, 2 hours you're in Washington, they like it there. So a guy, so he says, look, I like your points about how in karma, he was a professor of linguistics, he says, how in karma, you know, suffering depends on perspective, not just what happens to you. He said, I got a story to illustrate that. I said, tell the story. So he says, this is my radio show today. I'm not talking philosophy. I don't have anything prepared. But so he says, there was a Jewish guy, and he goes to heaven. And when he goes to heaven, he says, look, before I go to this place, I'm going to find out what I'm getting into. So he said, I want to speak to the boss. So God comes out. He says, God, what is heaven like? And God said, oh, heaven, you don't have to eat. You don't have to sleep. You don't have to work. And all you do, you can study Torah, or you study Torah all day long. He said, oh, that's nice. Well, what's the other alternative? He says, well, you can go to hell. He said, well, what's hell like? And God said, okay, I got to get to another bump. And he said, hell? He said, hell? He said, you don't work, you don't eat, you don't sleep, and all you do is study Torah all day. I don't know if you get it, but you like that one, too. But then he was telling, hey, you know, he said, I somehow was with Jack Welch. Jack Welch is the head of GE. He said, I, it's a long story. He said, but I was with him for 5 or 6 days. And he all of a sudden, he told me how, you know, something similar was there. So I was just thinking, how nice, you know. Prabhupada's mercy, how, well, you know, somehow Krishna consciousness is spreading like wildfire in India. And, yeah, I guess, it, you know, it's an easier cultural link. But seeing these Westerners that go to that place, and I was meeting Western people there, too, so that was interesting. And I just thought maybe, let me just, 1 second, look at the time, because I'm kind of moving along here. Just before I go on, anybody have any questions on anything?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bill, who is this?
This is Gail.
Okay, Gail?
Yeah?
After the class, I'd like to speak to you on the phone, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I'm going to call you about 5 minutes after class. What's your question?
No, I was just wondering if you had gotten around to telling us why that guy was totally familiar to you.
Okay, if you want to know why, now it's kind of embarrassing. Because he looked exactly like Woody Allen. And he was the same age and from the same place. You know what I'm saying? It's a guy who was born, he was the exact age of Woody Allen and born in the same place. So when I was looking at the table, I was saying, who does this guy look like? You know, and who does he talk like? Anyway, that's the reason. Thank you, Gail. Any other questions? Gail, can you give me your phone number that I'll call you, or is it the same one?
Okay.
What number should I call you? Hello? You still on here?
Anybody else? I was wondering if the line didn't die or what.
What? No. Gail?
Yes?
Yeah, can you give me your phone number? I'll call you up afterwards.
Yes.
What number should I call?
Yes, 7.
Either you're cutting off or I'm cutting off because I'm not getting it. Am I still on here? Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please.
Who's that? Nanda Dula?
Yeah. Welcome back, Maharaj, to this side.
Okay. Thank you.
How's your health?
My health is good, but, you know, when you're in India, I have someone, a nice couple, comes every day and cooks for me, suitably. You know, some nice devotees. But most days I'm out, and because I'm out, I don't know when I'm going to get back. So when I get back, I eat with the people on Parikram. And I'm looking forward to getting back and having more control of my diet and my life. That's the positive part here. It's much less busy for me than in India, believe it or not. So I'm planning on doing a lot of writing, and excited about that.
Maharaj, do you check your email daily? I'm going to send an email.
Yeah, I'll check it. Yeah, okay. Great, thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Govardhan.
Okay, Govardhan. I'll see you at your house. There's a program at Govardhan's house on this Saturday at 11:30. Okay, so anybody's in the area, please come. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
This is Stella, please accept my humble obeisances.
Hare Krishna, Stella. All right, well, let me tell you, I don't know if I told this story yet. It's nice, it's about Kamal Krishnamaj, but these people came from the yoga studio. Very, very nice people. They're deep meditators, they're very well behaved, nice New York people. And I took these two ladies around Vrindavan. One was 64, one was 35. And they were very open because they were attracted to the Radha Damodar deities in the Astanga Yoga place. And why are they Radha Damodar deities? Because Kasturba, his disciples, established them. And one of my greatest pleasures is when we installed the deities, Jayad Vaitamaraj and myself got to... One thing is you install the pictures, so... we carried the plate with Tamal Krishnamaj's picture to, you know, install the pictures on the altar because they had a priest doing it. So, and when we went, and we went to Govardhan, and I took them to so many places, and we chanted, and I told stories, and then I brought them to Keshava Bharti Maharaj, and, you know, he spoke to them. And on the way out, I told these ladies, I said, we should go, because they're very respectful to Kasturba. We should go to the samadhi of Kasturba's guru, and we should offer our respects before we go to honor Kasturba and honor his guru. And they said, yes, let's do that. So we went, and we paid obeisance. We paid obeisance. We walked around. I explained that when you walk around, it's a yogic process. Why? Because you're giving up the false ego, which is the source of the material mind. Now, you put someone else in the center, and you go on the periphery, and you put them, by walking around, you're putting someone else in the center. So then, it was about 2 o'clock, and I opened the doors to the samadhi to show them the picture, and they had little red, little yellow tulips, very small, that were a little bit, and a little white flowers, and I reverently gave each of them these flowers. And as I'm walking, this girl who's very, very meditative, she has these flowers in her hand. She's almost kind of meditating on her hand. And she said, do you know? She said that these flowers, they have the same exact mood as that temple in New York that attracted us to Radha and Krishna.
Hi.
Yeah, and then at the end of the parikram, which was, you know, with them in Vrindavan, the very last thing before we went, I did kirtan with them, and they were chanting. I said, meditate on your favorite place. And we went so many places, and the girl said, those flowers. Yeah, so it was nice.
Welcome back to America.
Jai Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Very nice. Yeah. I thought that the devotees would allow me not to give a formal class today, but just to rap.
Yeah, it was wonderful just to hang out.
yeah, great. I feel that way too. And I'm well rested, so it's kind of fun. Thank you. Thank you.
I will.
Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. I'll just share one more realization, and then I guess I'll hang up after that. It'll be end early today. I really kind of thought I'd cancel the class, but I didn't, but it was nice anyway. But one thing in India that really was nice is, you know, especially in Vrindavan concentrated area, to get the association of really advanced devotees. And, you know, people who are just completely, I mean, it's part their, whatever it is, mercy of Krishna, their karma, their own sincerity. But there's people that somehow or other, by their determination and situation, are finished with material responsibilities and are qualified enough to constantly chant Hare Krishna. And they're very strict. They don't, you know, so the association people of that are, you know, of course, Keshav Bharati and so many nice devotees visit there, the sannyasis and others, and God brothers and some of them visit there. But other people also that live there, Parthasarthi Goswami, Mother Srimati, from morning to evening, they're just constantly absorbed in chanting and hearing about Krishna and studying about Krishna. And then the type of association, when you get that inspiration and you see not only the possibility, but the taste that people have, and not only the possibility and the taste, but they share the way they do it and how they enter and what they're into. It's very, very, very inspiring. So I think it's a good program for me. Half there, half here. But my heart is in Govardhan. And I'm really in a conscious way. No matter how much time I spend here, how much time I spend there, I've made a shift. And I no longer live in America. I'm just visiting America now. It may be for 6 months, but I'm visiting her. I live in Govardhan now. That's my place. And that'll be my meditation. And it's wonderful. I mean, the day before I went, we organized a nice bhajan program in Giriraj Swami's house, His Grace. I'm staying there. And Neela's brother, Anastasia's, her name is Neela, her brother, younger brother, Nityananda, very talented. And, you know, we're singing Bengali bhajans, and when you have someone who can sing them in the, you know, these original melodies, there's so much bhavan, like so much devotion. So we did that before we went, and really good. And Dadu, the old mailman, he was relishing so much the classes, relishing so much. And participating in. He's also absorbed spiritually. We actually got to have so many people this year for the classes. It just, sometimes people come, sometimes. But there was a core group, and we would get into those. I'm inspired to write about the CC and to speak about the CC very, very deep. Just trying to think the last point we had about Gopinath Patanayaka. Yeah, I like the point that everything was accomplished by the chatmakar, I describe it, the wonderment, which is an ecstatic feeling of astonishment. It can be for Krishna's Aishwarya or Krishna's Madhurya. His Aishwarya, you know, the universal form, wow. His Madhurya, the way he loves his devotees and how he accomplishes it. But in this story, he did not compromise his bhajan to get involved in the material activities of his disciples. But because Gopinath Patanayaka was related to Ramananda Roy, the devotees solved the problems. So I just think, how many things can really be accomplished positively by just really focusing more and more and chanting the holy name and becoming absorbed? I'm becoming more and more convinced about that. That the more and more we become absorbed, the more and more our life will become simple. Okay, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Otherwise, we'll end for today. One more person?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances.
Amiya, Hare Krishna. Nice to hear from you. Thank you for attending these. I'll have to see you sometime soon.
Okay. Yes, I'll see you Saturday morning.
Okay, Hare Krishna.
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Good, you know, the program is early, so I can even stay a little bit later with the people. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail again.
Okay, Gail, give me a number. Okay, I'll call you in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, we'll end for today. Thank you all dedicated listeners of the Sangha. Panchakalpa Trivyaskak, Nakasindavi, Vichapati Trampavani, Paisha Nidhu.